What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Well, number one here on Cody and Gold is that we're up at Chiefs training camp. Another day of practice. It was a soggy morning. Turned out to actually be really nice in the final 30, 40 minutes or so of practice when the rain stopped. For those fans that made it up here, it was actually a pretty good day to get some autographs if you were in the right spot, because
it was
not nearly as full as some of the other ones. As this is really the final week of Chiefs training camp. Thursday technically is the last day, although Wednesday, if you're planning on coming up, Wednesday is the last true practice, as Thursday is Military Appreciation Day, and they have a really short practice, and it's mainly all about spending time with those in the military, which is obviously a great thing that they do here at Chiefs camp. Few updates. We saw Kadarius Toney back at practice today. We saw Justin Reed with a helmet on, even though it was not a padded practice, but that's a really good sign about his progression. Same thing with Nick Bolton. He was back with a helmet on at practice. And then we just found out some more details with the Hollywood Browns dislocated sternoclavicular joints or whatever.
Yeah.
That did not require surgery. He's back in Kansas City, and now we'll just wait out the timeline. The problem is I don't think we're going to get a definitive timeline from the Chiefs. Well, I just don't know if we'll ever really get it. We're going to be sitting here week one of the season that week, and someone's going to ask the question, and we're going to find out then. I don't think we're going to find out, like, next week, like, oh, he's got three more weeks.
I think he's just going to have to say, we'll see.
Yeah.
Until they get to the week of the game where he has to give a more or closer to definitive answer on whether or not Hollywood might be out. Unless he's just sure he's out, in which case he might just blow off week one.
Fair.
Next up on What's Trending, the Royals begin their crucial series tonight against the Twins up in Minneapolis. They did not play yesterday, which was so weird for there not to be a Royals game on a Sunday.
What a waste.
It throws me off considerably. It makes the Sunday not feel right. It does feel like a waste because there was no Chiefs football for them to go up against. It'll be Brady Singer on the mound tonight. He'll go up against Pablo Lopez for the Twins. The Twins split their series against the Guardians, so they're currently a game back of them for the second wild card spot.
Yeah, we will talk more Royals baseball and what's key here, not only in this series, but what they're going to do with the bullpen after this past weekend. That's coming up in just a bit. Next up on What's Trending, though, the Olympics in Paris already wrapped up. It did fly by. I was like, wait, this is it? It's the last weekend? But it was. Over 300 events in the books. The U.S. Great. Finished tied with China with the most gold medals at 40, but won the
winning
overall.
Winning the final event.
Yeah, won the final event. Women's basketball team got gold. Key win, 1 point over France. The day after, the U.S. men in basketball got a gold over France. So the host
French
country
aren't going to like us.
The host country, disappointing. I think they finished seventh in medals than France, being the home country. The U.S. just
wouldn't
dominated.
Know what that's like.
Just dominated. One of the more dominating performances, I think, in the Olympics, not under a protest in Olympic history is
what
I saw.
Do you know that the U.S. has more gold medals than the next country has total medals in the Olympic history?
Sounds about right.
Winners, you know?
America.
America. That's right. Next up on What's Trending, all three local schools, as the AP Top 25 is out, all three local schools will be in the Top 25. MU coming in at 11, K-State coming in at 18, and KU coming in at 22. Now look, in the AP's history, no team that's been ranked outside the Top 25 in the AP poll to start the year has made the college football playoff. That was with four teams. I assume
True.
that will change over time, but if we are pretending like there isn't a political stance in the NCAA football that isn't how they perceive you versus what they perceived you to be in the beginning, you're wrong. Being in the top 25 before the year increases your chances of being in the final 12 versus an unranked team. So all three teams in the top 25. Some people thought KU might be unranked, but they came in at 25.
Yeah, narrative's a real thing for that. Now, once the season starts, I don't care
still
about
gotta win your games.
I don't care about the weekly, you know, AP poll updates, because I would argue they don't matter then once the season starts.
The preseason one.
The preseason, it's fun for fans, too. It's great here in our area. All three locals are ranked. It's the first time KU's been ranked in both coaches and media preseason since 2008.
The Orange Bowl year?
That's right. That's right.
Been a minute. Been just a minute there. That's still it's a win, right?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Last night on What's Trending, don't forget, this Thursday, 96.5 The Fan launches. We cannot wait for Thursday, 6 a.m. with Fesco and Dusty. That's when the station switches over, and we cannot wait for this. We're going to have the Chiefs, the Royals, K-State, Missouri, all on one FM sports station here in Kansas City, plus all the same shows you love. So we told you guys about this last week. We continue to have some things in the works and that we're excited for, and I know we've had a lot of questions about it. Simulcast will still be on the Fan AM, for those of that you've been asking about that. We had somebody here at camp come by and said they've been able to pick us up in Iowa and things like that. I'm like, if you've been picking us up on the AM side, that's not going to change. That's not going to change one bit.
Just in Kansas City, we'll be on the bigger Batter FM signal 96.5. We have been told to warn you that we'll sound different.
Your singing is where you got to be concerned, man.
Concerned?
Yes. That's what's trending, by the way,
concerned
Drew.
Concerned about my singing?
The singing,
I could never be concerned.
More so than ever, because it's going to be crystal clear. They're going to hear your singing. It's one thing for them to hear our
seems
voices.
Seems like that'll help my case.
Talking sports, talking life. But then once they hear you singing, it's going to be even clearer. Every little note, man.
Let's take a poll here on the text line. 913-586-7610. I have two questions for you. So just number them in your response. One, do you think my signal will sound better or worse on the FM signal? Two, do you think that I should come up with a 96.5 The Fan theme song? In which, and that's all I want to know. I have some songs. I have some covers that I think work for The Fan. For the first day, because, you know, we'd like to play up the first day, bigger and badder.
Yes.
So I need to answer to those two questions.
So when you text in 1. Yes, you'll sound worse. 2. that's the 913-586-7610.
So it's a good thing that we're playing this Colts guy today then and not on the FM.
That's
816,
right.
much worse. 2, no. I could have assumed if you might sound worse that your answer is just a solid
I think
no.
When we played the Colts fan singing, that audio, how it's crystal clear, that is what you should be worried about happening to you on FM.
There is one person that is your number one fan, Cody. They're from the 913. Yes, Cody, please make songs. Cannot wait.
I like that there's occasional
there's
fans
one,
there.
This one,
one person. There's a good mix. Someone says, it will clearly be worse to yes. Go ahead and do a song. They don't care that it's going to be worse.
All I know is the listener that bid on the Cody Can't Sing Today pass.
Damn, that'd be tough.
That pass is
on
still available.
On the very first day of The Fan?
I might
You're going to do me like that?
I might suggest that might be the day he uses it.
I haven't even done the song yet.
The first day of The first day of the 96.5 signal, we might be a day where we don't need to hear your singing, is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Trying to get started on the right foot, you know? We don't need people having to crank down their radio on day
one. I think we're going to have a bigger audience, more people listening on the FM side, and I think it is a good idea in everything in life. Your workplace, your school, set expectations. Set expectations for what you get when you listen to this show. And let's just be honest, that if you listen to this show, sometimes you're going to have to listen to me sing, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I mean, if your logic is it was a music station before and so we need to have music involved in day one, then I guess I can understand that.
Someone says, I've got $96.50 right now for no song. They're willing to jump up the price tag.
I think we know the three denominations that are required for the show beginning Thursday in this station. $9.65, the new hero minimum. $96.05 is if you're just feeling really nice. And then if you're, you know, if we ever have another Creed is Good type campaign, $965.
Yeah. We might need that from at least one person. Because you got to remember, somebody cut us one big check for that. Oh, man.
So imagine someone who's out of the loop. Thursday, they tune in to 96.5, and they hear you singing. Not sports talk, even, but they just hear you singing. That's what I'm worried about. If you want to know the truth, that's what I'm worried about. Drew, that's my concern.
What are the odds that the very first time someone tunes into 96.5 The Fan expecting to hear the buzz is me doing a cover of a song, and they're like, what the hell is this?
Hey.
What is this, a new song from Modest Yahoo? And you're like, no, it's not. It's just the guy.
Best case scenario is they keep on listening to see how bad it can get, and then
that's
they eventually
true.
Hear you guys talking, and then it's like, oh, okay, this is a talk show now. Yeah,
you know, someone was asking me the other day, could like, oh, you're excited, I'm sure, for the Switch. They're like, what are you worried about? I go, there's only one thing. I said, there's one thing I'm worried about. It is when they hear Cody sing at FM. That's my big concern. Like, if the boss asked me, hey, is there anything you're nervous about? Cody's singing on FM. That's it. Everything else is going to be great, guys. That's my number one concern.
Well, I kind of want to, you know, like, reduce your concerns immediately.
Someone else says they've been listening for years on the HD radio subchannel, so they've been technically listening on Crystal Clear, and they can confirm.
How is Cody
it sounds
sounded,
even worse there.
Oh, okay.
That's tough.
Odyssey app listeners already have the clear audio. That's true.
You might have to spice up the auto-tune then, Cody. I guess, in this case.
Oh, someone says, would you agree to this for our show fund? We need to be set for a couple of years on the show fund. Someone says, make $9,650.
The show fund would never need money again.
To never sing again. They'll start the GoFundMe. Now, are you going to start it off with a nice donation?
Damn, $9,650 to never sing again.
You'd have to say yes.
I would have to say yes, but that would hurt.
We'd pay for someone else to sing.
Oh, we could still have songs. It just wouldn't be me anymore.
Yeah.
Be someone who could sing better.
Uh-huh.
It's tough. Okay.
We'll hear the Colts fan later on this hour. That, I think, makes you sound admittedly a little bit better.
I think it does.
Way better.
Yeah.
You guys have been complaining about me. It could have sounded like this the entire time.
Well, we would have stopped. We wouldn't have let you sing. If that's what it was, we would have. Take this as a compliment. The fact that this has continued as long as it has means it's not. It may not be great, but it's not the Colts fan level. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. We're up here at training camp, though. We mentioned our training camp coverage takes place inside the Comcast business tent, powering possibilities. And just a short while ago, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid spoke to the media. He gave an update on Hollywood Brown status, plus some more of his takeaways from preseason game number one.
Hollywood, they were able to get the joint back into place without surgery, which is a positive. And then we'll just see on the recovery. He's back in Kansas City now. He stayed over in Jacksonville till they got that thing situated. Clyde was sick today. Hayek, still, you know about his shoulder. Nothing's changed there. Chris Jones, shoulder. Both those guys are making progress. McCade had a tear in the MCL. It wasn't the ACL, so... that's a positive. No surgery required. We'll just see how he does here in the next few days, how that thing works out. It might be longer than that, but we'll see. Wanye had a bone bruise on his knee. Those are pretty painful things, but he's working through that. Other than that, everybody worked today in some form or another, and we'll just see how they did. Whether it was the Boltons, the Reeds, you know, we'll just see how they made out through this. But as far as the game goes, there were some good things. There's plenty that we can work on. The ones were fairly productive there for the short time that they had. We were on top of the kickoff. In the rule, it's a little different than last year. So. The ball normally goes in the end zone. You know, it's a dead ball, and that's not how it is this year. Goes in, comes back out. You can't scoop it back in, obviously. Again, they're still looking at all of this, so we'll see. We'll see where it goes from here. I think it was good for the officials to see it. I think it was good for us to see it. We understood the part of it where if it goes in, you know, it's still alive. But again, that is similar to the sideline where you can be outside and reach back in. That part got clarified. It's not like that. So that's a live ball. So that's where we're at. Other than that, it's open to you guys here. Yeah, 34 should have taken it and gone. And then McColl was trying to make it right. But what McColl should have done was picked it up and gone. But listen, that's not his. That's our responsibility for making sure that's clarified.
Me and see Brian Cook out there. Did he walk out later? Or what's his status?
Yes, he was not there. Personal matters. Baby on the way. Right. So, yeah.
Andy, were you back in Washington? What did you see from Kingsley?
And I know. Yeah. No. Listen. I thought he did a nice job in there. His feet, his sets were good. He was aggressive. I thought for the short time that he was in, he did a nice job. It was a good start for him. So he's got to obviously build on it the more time he gets and so on. But I thought it was a very productive start.
You guys have a deep wide receiver room. Are you sensing some urgency from Kadarius Toney, just knowing that it's very competitive at the back end there?
Say
the wide receiver from Kadarius Toney, just. Knowing that.
Yeah, I mean, he was out here today working, and it's just consistency. It's just a matter that, and with the competition, and I tell all of them that. So there's a ton of competition, and you got to be on your game with that. So.
Great.
What does that do to your passing game without Hollywood as long as he's not around?
Yeah, so the positive there, Adam, is that he's going to be back. And but without him in there, his experience and that in the league, and but we've also got other guys that can step in and play. We'll be okay there. It's just we're pulling for him to, you know, get back, obviously.
Is it reasonable to think he could play against Baltimore?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Coach, did you miss not having a fullback last year? When you look at number 42, when you look at Steele, does he look like a guy who could be a fullback and a running back?
Yeah, well, you saw what he was as a running back. And then he's learning the fullback spot as needed. We used Noah there last year, who can still do that. But he's got to be a good special teams player. You know, if he's going to make the team, he's got to be a good special teams player, and he's got to be able to carry the football and stay aggressive like he's doing right now. But he had a productive day.
Did you miss having a fullback last year? Did it hamper you in the red zone some, you think?
No, I don't think so. We adapted. And I thought Noah gave us some good snaps in there.
Nate? Andy, it was his first football game ever, but just when you rewatch the tape, just what jumped out to you about Lewis Rezaman and where the improvement can go from game one to game two?
Yeah, no, it was exciting for him to have a chance to get in there and play. It's faster than what he's seen in practice. So I think from an experience standpoint, it was great for him. I think that was a positive, and then just build on it. So,
yeah. Thanks, Coach.
All right.
Making this team, I think it's going to have to be on a practice squad and then come back next year and see with more experience if there's a bigger role for him. That's at least how I think you have to look at it at this point in time. And then as far as Kadarius Toney, we were talking about Hollywood Brown earlier and where the wide receiver room is at, and we just had Justin Ross on and how competitive the wide receiver room is going to be. Without flat out saying it, I think Andy continues to kind of hint publicly, even like, yeah, we keep telling Kadarius Toney basically it's kind of a tough room, and basically acknowledging like, yes, he's back out here, which is a good thing, but he has to show consistency in being available.
Yeah, and I mean, I know you don't want to just eat the $2 million, but if he can't play, if he's not available, then he's not available. He plays, you know, we talked about Hollywood Brown's in your history. Tony's is way worse than that. Hollywood Brown might miss 2-3 games a year. Tony might miss 2-3 games every couple of months, it seems.
True.
Like.
Let me ask you this, and this we all found out, a week or two ago, about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the challenges and some of the mental health struggles that he goes through, and we, I think, all applauded him for publicly sharing
for sure.
that. And he was not at practice again today.
But availability.
And Andy mentioned he was sick. And we don't, you know, I don't know exactly what that is, if that is the same issues he had brought up publicly
sure.
or not. And being sensitive to that, but then also acknowledging the football end of it. I think it is fair to have a little bit of a conversation for a second on availability. And right now we all assume he's the number two back for this team, right?
Yes.
In season, he has to be available.
Yes.
And I
like
think
he
it's,
can't miss week to week, otherwise.
Yeah,
you
and
have
so
to
again, I'm trying to be respectful of clearly what he's going through.
Yeah, it's not the same as like he has a hamstring issue.
But at the same time, I wonder. I mean, about the availability in the regular season from the number two back. Number two back's active every day. Like the number two back's active on game day.
Gets snapped. Gets
and
carries.
Gets carries.
Game.
You know. So it's just something that's crossed my mind a little bit more as it started to. I haven't counted every single one. You know, he's an experienced player. I don't think him missing training
at least
camp.
Five or six.
I don't think missing a training camp practice is going to alter his ability to play. But I'm saying, like, come regular season,
are you available?
Is he available then?
Yeah, is he available, like, not only to practice, because that does matter a little bit, but are you available on Sunday? Are you available on game day? I don't think it's an unfair question. It's hard to talk about because you and I both know that, like, I'm not critical of his unavailability because I understand why he's
sure.
unavailable. But if you're a football coach trying to worry about football, well, then you run into this problem where am I carrying four running backs just in case Clyde isn't available, or do I need to upgrade backup running back just in case he's not available? Do I need to go make my Carlos Hyde trade where I go look for a running back who's on the ropes on their roster because they are three or four deep, someone with experience who has been around the league a little bit, and do I handle things that way rather than just hand the reins over to Denarik Prince, who hasn't really played much, or Carson Steele, a rookie, and trust that they can do those things? And I don't think it's an if I were the Chiefs organization, I'd at least be asking myself that question. Doesn't mean you have to go down that road. You know, they'll have a better answer on that, so will Clyde, than we're going to have by just speculating. But, yeah, I don't think it's an unfair question to ask yourself. Sit in a meeting room and at least question it, sure.
And then Denarik Prince, part of the running back competition. Andy was talking about that weird safety, non-touchback play. Should have been a ball at the one-yard line. He kind of laid out the plan. First of all, Denarik Prince, he acknowledged, like, well, yeah, Denarik Prince should have just taken the ball on that kickoff. And then McColl.
He's used to the old rules.
The rules are different. And nobody on that field and nobody in the replay room knew what the rules should have been. And so I don't really put it on the player other than Prince should never have just let it bounce.
And McColl's just like, I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to just sit there, so at least I'm going to pick it up.
Right.
Which is like, you technically did the wrong thing. You should have kept going, but like, he screwed up less than the other one.
Would have been a touchdown if McColl Harmon didn't run back there. The Jags would have picked it up and been a touchdown, or landed on it.
Or nobody had picked it up. Would the Jags even have picked it up?
Well, the refs would never have blown the whistle. Everybody.
That's true.
I was like, the refs knew not to blow the whistle. It was a live ball on the kickoff. We'll talk more specifics of the kickoff coming up in the 1 o'clock hour with the rule change, the controversy around that play, but also the rule and what the league wants based off of one preseason week. It is actually working. I'll use air quotes to that, but we'll get into that a little bit later on as we continue broadcasting here from Chiefs Training Camp, where our coverage is presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Up next, let's talk more about the Royals. Huge series. Yet again, every series is massive. They're going to take on the Twins, where the Royals are just a half game behind them for the second wild card spot. So one injury in the bullpen now suddenly is concerning. We'll tell you why next. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 12 minutes or so. Cody and Gold back in St. Joe. Chiefs practice wrapped up around 11:30 or so. We had Justin Ross join us on the program. Plus, we're still going to hear from Xavier Worthy and Jaden Hicks. Jaden Hicks, one of the Chiefs rookies, and really players, period, in that Chiefs preseason game that stood out. Yeah, other than Carson Steele because he had the football and scored a touchdown.
Well, he has a Bond villain name.
And the hair and everything.
He owns an alligator.
Yeah, Jaden Hicks.
Crocodile.
We'll hear from him maybe in the 1 o'clock hour because Jaden Hicks, though, special teams and on the defensive side of the ball, like he popped on your television screen if you were watching the game. Oh, we didn't even talk about that freak out. Did you?
Oh, no. Look, it's actually not unfair.
No, I know.
There were a lot of people.
People didn't know.
So you and I both watch Chiefs games on antenna. I've always watched them that way because I talk about the game live. I don't want to be 2 minutes behind. So I have always watched Chiefs games on antenna. That's just the way I've watched them forever, and I will continue to watch them. But fairly so, and I hadn't realized, because I had family members call me, and my grandpa was asking, other people, my father-in-law was asking, because what happened was the game wasn't on YouTube TV because they don't have 38 the spot. So all of these people were finding out they didn't have access to the Chiefs preseason game. It wasn't an unfair freakout. 41 tried to run some ads warning you you were going to need it on 38 the spot, including a PSA about how to use an antenna. But I don't know. I saw all that, and I still kind of thought it was just going to be on YouTube.
I think what happened, too, for some people is they tuned in, and at the time it was before the primetime coverage of the Olympics had started.
Yeah.
So what, you flip to NFL Network, it's telling you the game's blacked out. So you're like, okay, local. So then they went to 41, and they're like, wait, they're just airing the news? That's because that was the news before the primetime Olympic coverage. And
correct.
The Olympics were not allowed to get bumped because NBC invests billions and billions of dollars in it.
And I'll just be honest, it gets better than a preseason football game in any market.
So in Kansas, I don't know what the ratings would have been for
the Olympic ratings have been incredible.
No,
so,
I know, but the Chiefs preseason game, I'm not so sure. Anyway, so that's why it was on 38 the spot. But you're right, my dad called me, he was trying to watch the game. They didn't have the antenna, so they weren't able to watch.
I offered to drive it over to my father-in-law's place.
But now hopefully everybody in Kansas City has an indoor antenna. You should get one anyway because the game won't be delayed if you watch it on the antenna, if you watch CBS or Fox, ABC, or any of the locals. And you could also, just listen over on 96.5 The Fan starting Thursday. You can listen to the game, hear Mitch Holthus, Danen Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel, have the radio broadcast on to begin with.
Yeah, that makes sense why you guys, I look on Twitter to see reaction to a play, and you guys will have already said something 2 minutes ago. Like, hang on a second.
We watch this thing live, baby. We don't, Alex and I don't work on delay. Although I did learn that you can turn off some of the, you can shorten your delay on YouTube TV, and
there's
I did
setting.
It immediately.
Yeah. Thanks to a listener on that, by the way. There's
yeah,
a
I had no idea.
Listener filled us in on, if you're doing the antenna, you're going to get the quickest feed without delay. But if you are on YouTube TV or a streaming service on YouTube TV, there is a setting where you can lower the broadcast delay so you don't get that issue if you're someone that it gets annoyed with the delay and your buddy texts you before a play you saw or Twitter or whatever it may
yeah.
be. Anyway, but yeah, antenna came in handy on Saturday. It definitely did.
Didn't matter because the Royals were playing an important game on their preparation for trying to get into the postseason. So I was done by halftime of that Chiefs preseason game anyway. It was relegated to the second screen by that time anyway because the Royals are playing important games. But once again, as we can come here on a Monday, massive series. But what is important, just as it was last week, is MLB Network asked this question, and it's a fair question to ask. They said, in this series against the Twins, Reagans, Singer, Lugo, all going for the Royals, how many teams in baseball do you think have a better 1-2-3 starting rotation? And the answer based on performance this year is zero. If you want to say based on your confidence in it, fine. Based on performance this year, zero. Nobody has a better 1-2-3. Someone might have a better 1-2, whatever. Nobody has as deep of a starting rotation 1-3 or is consistently performing this year. But it's also where you have to win this series. I know it's on the road. I know it's on another playoff team. But for the same reasons we pointed out, Gold, in a week, they got two more bad teams after this series. Then they will take on the Phillies and the Yankees and the Guardians for seven and a million other already in the playoff teams, difficult teams. It is important that when your three co-aces, if you want to put it, are on the mound together, that one easy win comes out of those start where they just go seven and allow one run in the offense score six, and one well-fought win comes out of that rotation. So the third one, whatever, can't count on all three to just dominate. If they do, they'll win all three games.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't care if it's an easy or a hard win or whatever. Find a way to win these games against the Twins. I get what you're saying, though, which is that you don't want to have to rely on that bullpen for as many innings in an outing in which your starting pitching doesn't give you innings. I'll point out, though, a week ago against Boston, Brady Singer, while he struggled, he still got to the seventh inning.
He did.
All three of them did not have terrible outings.
No, they just weren't as
They weren't as dominant.
Good.
And so I think it's big for them to pitch better in this series only because it's one thing for people to say, well, the Boston Red Sox are a bad matchup. And against Brady Singer, for example, you know, the lefties are – look, the Twins, you might be 2-5 so far to start the season against them. The Twins should not be a bad matchup. They're not a bad matchup for you. Like, so if you're struggling against the Twins in this series, I actually think that's more of a red flag than what happened last week against Boston. That's how I look at this series. The struggles against Boston all write it up to, hey, the Boston Red Sox just kind of had your number. We'll worry about that come postseason time. Right now, against the Twins, they should not be better than you. They're not a bad matchup for you. As far as I'm concerned, the Royals are a better team than the Minnesota Twins. And the fact that they're currently down in the season series is really surprising.
Yeah, it is. But the Twins have had their number for, I don't know, two decades.
Yeah, fair.
So I can't be that damn surprised. The Twins have been a thorn in the side of the Royals my entire damn life. So just stick it to them once. Make this thing 5-5. Let's go through these next three games, sweep the Twins, be up 2.5 games on the second wild card spot. Think about the swing and emotions you can put in this series. If you win 2 out of 1, you know, like, if you lose 2 out of 3 or win 2 out of 3, we're probably going to feel about the same we were. They're up on Boston, they're still behind the Twins, whatever. But if they win all three games of this series, hold the same edge they have now on Boston, but on the second wild card spot, hypothetically in that scenario, if they win the next three games, they might have caught up a game on the Guardians. In addition to it, they've got their number 1, 2, and 3 starters. I look at this sometimes as a test for what will happen in the playoffs for the Royals. Because in a three-game wild card series, it will be Lugo, Reagans, and Singer. And they will need to win 2 out of 3 during that time against a playoff team like the Twins. Show me you can do it tonight. They will face one rookie starter, it looks like, later in this series. I think maybe tomorrow. So that's never been good for the Royals.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like last week against the Red Sox, the same rotation lined up, and they didn't perform well. And that's why it's like this is bigger for the bounce back of these three in this mini series, if you're talking about it having certainly playoff implications or just mimicking what a playoff series could look like. Minnesota is a team where you to me need to see these three at times look dominant, against an opponent like this. Maybe Boston is just going to be that pain in the ass team, and hopefully they don't end up making the playoffs. And if the Royals have anything to say about it, right now the Boston Red Sox would not be in the playoffs. And I know people are skeptical because of the AL Central. Right now the AL Central would have three teams in the playoffs.
I know, it's crazy.
And I know people are like, oh, it won't be that way at the end. The way it's shaping up, it actually is fairly realistic.
Royals only have 44 games left. Kind of running out of time for it to not be three teams out of the Central.
Maybe the Guardians don't win the division. Maybe they do, but the Guardians will be in the postseason.
Yes.
The Twins, the way they're positioned right now, they're a half game up for the second wild card on Kansas City. I think the Twins and the Royals, I really think the AL Central could end up with three teams in the postseason, which is pretty amazing considering
we thought that they were the worst division in baseball.
Yeah, and also
before the season, we thought 87 wins would get the division.
And that's, and at the same time, it kind of sucks because otherwise the Royals should be the way they play, that they should be comfortably actually in first place in the American League Central based on what our preseason expectations were for the division. But everybody's been better except for the White Sox in this division this year.
Well, let's see. I want to know. I haven't done this in a while because there's so few games left. What's the Royals' current pace? 89.5 wins.
I think they need that extra half, though.
You think they need?
Yeah, I'm serious. I think they need the other.
I don't like that number.
I think they need the other half to get to 90.
You want to round up?
I think they need that 90
in this scenario.
I think they need 90. I really do. For 90, I mean, the average spot for a wild card since they changed it has been 87 wins. So you would say 90 should be a wild card? Should be. But if you want to 90, you're still going in the last day, in my opinion.
I think 90 you're in. 90's in. Seven playoff teams, 90's in.
I think so, but it's jumbled up more than we thought. And history would tell us you're in at 90. 89, though? You told me they're on an 89.5 pace. So round down to 89, are we sure 89's enough? That's what I'm saying. I think they need 90.
Are you team Urseg in the ninth no matter what?
Well, I'm team Urseg, and he's the best pitcher.
Biggest spot.
Biggest spot, period. It doesn't have to be the ninth inning for me. If it is the eighth,
I'm just curious, because they had guys that they just put in the ninth every time, and they seem to be
tonight, if you're fortunate enough to get strong quality starting pitching, and
It's
3-1 in the eighth, and a runner, you know, and whoever.
Let's say 1-2-3 is coming up, or 2-3-4.
Then that's who Urseg should pitch.
Yeah.
And I think the Royals have kind of approached it that way.
Urseg has been so, he's walking off with some swagger.
It's just nasty,
too.
His stuff is ridiculous.
How did he not pitch better for the team he was on?
Well, they had a guy named Miller.
Mason Miller's probably
who
the best starter.
Maybe
the
best closer in baseball. That's your answer. That's why.
Well, how the hell wasn't he the closer for them? Because Mason Miller's so good.
Well, then look in DC. You know, Hunter Harvey, early in the season, people were like, why is he not closing? And Finnegan was much better. And then they overuse Hunter Harvey, and he's been struggling. And I want to talk about him because he's hurt. He's on the IL. Back issues twice now since joining the club. Unrelated, they say, that they're two different issues. I talked to somebody in D.C. over the weekend. I was like, hey, was this back thing ever a problem? Nope, never a problem in D.C. I wonder if this all stems from overuse. And so this is going to be, I hope this is not the case, is it going to be a lost half season for Hunter Harvey, where we're going to have to wait till next year for us to see the benefits, really, of that trade. I could be wrong. I hope the back injury, and he's good, and
just
we're sitting here
in
September, he's pitching great. But I, as much as people are disappointed with the trade, it has been a disappointment. If it's strictly because of health, at least there's some promise that, okay, that's the reason, not just that he's not pitching well.
Well, then some of it's an overuse issue. Well, great. He can be out for the next 2 weeks, not pitch, therefore overuse problems start to diminish, get him a couple of weeks to knock the rust off, as J.J. Piccolo had told us he'd had coming out of that All-Star break, and then kind of settle in.
We should have
J.J. tomorrow.
We should have J.J. Piccolo on the show tomorrow to talk about this series, talk about the injuries and just kind of where they're at. Also, maybe an update on Alec Marsh, who's, remember, down in AAA Omaha right now. As always, you know, if you have any other issues with your rotation, is always an option.
I like that he's just, laying in wait. Someone earlier weren't sure. They're like, hey, wait, what is the plan of Marsh? So he's going to throw 45 pitches, which is essentially their way of saying, well, that'll reduce the number of pitches he pitches the rest of the year, where later in the year they will probably use him. He will come back up, and he will be in this Royals bullpen, given that things go well and they need the extra roster spots and they need the extra arms. But they will also protect themselves just in case they happen to need another starter to go four innings, five innings. They trust Marsh to do that more than anyone else. Even though Daniel Lynch was the International League Player of the Month, yeah, or whoever else has pitched well for them. Actually, Chandler Champagne's been pitching pretty well for them in AAA, but some of the guys who've already been up in the big leagues and they've kind of done that with, they'd rather have Alec Marsh throw four innings, I think, right now than let Daniel Lynch come up and try to throw six. I could be wrong, but I kind of feel like Daniel Lynch is the perfect candidate to float out in trades this offseason to improve your roster, where your rotation's kind of set and you've done it with Marsh and you've tried really, or with Lynch and you've tried really hard, and Lynch is once again putting up AAA numbers that make you think he should be good in the bigs, and let somebody else do the thing a lot of teams do all the time. We did with Kadarius Toney, and everybody does it all the time, which is, we'll fix him. All the stuff is there. All the pieces are in place. The pedigree, what round they were taken in, the talent, the minor leagues, all that. And they'll just tell them, the Giants will tell themselves, we'll get it. And maybe they will. Sometimes it works that way, too, just like the Royals did with the Reagans.
All right, Drew, let's get to it.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7610. Of course, typically you can hit us up on the video stream, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. That'll be back up. It was a lot of rain today, and I like to bring you the video stream every day. I didn't want it to fry into a million pieces, so we're going to decide against video today.
It was a little damp on the table and everything earlier today.
Yeah, too risky, at least on that, and we were trying to keep everything as dry as we could. But for you today, I have a question regarding sleep. If you didn't know, right now, well, actually, I think it's over now, there was a YouTuber named Norme, I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, N-O-R-M-E, who was trying to set the world record for consecutive hours without sleep. I'm not asking what you did in your prime. I'm asking you if you had to right now, let's say for charity, if you had to right now, how many hours do you think you could stay up straight?
Can you use, like, energy drinks and stuff like that?
Yeah, you can use whatever you want. Like, this guy had a friend of his hitting him with a broomstick when it looked like he was getting ready to fade out.
Oh, boy.
I think at last look, he was at 288 hours of no sleep, which is a new world record. So, now there's some question about whether or not the world record beat it, because, like, we don't know if it counts when you, like, kind of, like,
we've all had the,
when you're really tired, you hit that little head nod, and you're not totally sure if you're asleep. How many hours straight do you think you could go?
If I was allowed to have energy drinks and stuff, 2 days max still.
48 hours?
Yeah, that's still the max. Well, yeah, that's the max.
I mean, I think that's probably the max of my life. I don't think I've ever stayed up more than like a day and a half, 2 days. I've probably come close to 2 days, but that would be max for me.
We almost did it for the Super Bowl this past year because we woke up on that Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday.
I woke up at 7 a.m.
Seven or eight or whatever. We went to the game. The game, ended at Vegas time at, 9 o'clock.
Got a red eye. I took a shower. I didn't sleep on the plane.
We left Vegas at 1 a.m. Vegas time. So we were already up at 7, 1 a.m. Vegas time. We went and did the show till 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So that's already over 24 hours.
So I probably didn't go to bed till like 10 o'clock that night.
And so knowing the feeling then, if you told me that I wasn't flying as well and all that mixed in, then yeah, I think I'll go 36 hours max.
36 hours? Okay.
Max.
I think I could probably do like 72.
Who wants to know if drugs are allowed?
You put not cocaine. Right, not illegal substances. You want to take one of those.
Cocaine,
you want to take one of those like essentially speed pills. If you can buy it at a at a gas station, fine. But that's not illegal substances for this. This is not the old drug Olympics. We're finding out what you can do just if you were trying to survive it. You're just trying. I could do 72 hours.
Someone on the text saw something that said it with multiple years for his brain to recover from 200 plus hours.
Oh, they say it's like really horribly unhealthy for you. If you've never seen like
your
the Stanford
brain needs
prison
to rest,
experiment,
man.
It turns out it's getting no sleep is like horrible for
your brain,
everything.
Your brain needs the rest.
Yeah, your body starts to just like reject everything. It's not a smart thing to do. I wouldn't recommend it. I'm just saying, how long do you think you could make
what
it?
What do you think, Drew?
I tend to think 72 hours as well. The longest I've stayed up probably is like
72. You're saying 3 days.
I think I can make it.
I'm with Cody. I think there comes a point where if you are tired and you reject that idea, like if it's like 2 a.m. and I'm really, really tired, I legitimately could go out and go for a run or go for a jog and I would be totally fine. And I would last till the next night and I'd do the same thing. You have to like reject the idea that you are tired and then
reject the idea.
There comes a point, I think, where
like
if you're trying to go to sleep and you can't go to sleep, eventually there's a point where you're just up. And even if you want to go to sleep, you just can't go to sleep. I think you got to get to that point.
But not
after 72 hours.
Yeah, what you're describing.
I'm just saying I'd quit.
72 hours, I would stop. I think I could last. I could. I could go longer than 72 hours, I think, but I'm not going to. I'm going to just say, you know what, I'm done. That's 72.
What you're describing when you can't fall asleep and you just get back up and you're wide awake is different than if your body is trying to sleep. The minute you lay in bed, you're out in like 20, you'd be out in a half, you'd be out in 30 seconds.
Yeah, if you sat in a bed, it's over.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's like, you gotta stand up and move around.
That's what I'm saying is that if you are tired, instead of going to lay down at like 48 hours, you go out, like you do something.
Yeah, you go out, party. Yeah.
Happy text line.
Something.
Someone in the military said they were in the Army. The longest they stayed up was about 72 hours. And it says you don't need any energy drinks because the adrenaline keeps you awake, especially when you're training and you're being shot at. Yes.
Well,
that's a very specific example.
Okay. That's
I would, in order to stay awake for 72 hours, I would like it to not be under those conditions.
Yes, if you were, hey, Cody,
please.
If you
put me in a war zone, yeah, I could probably stay up for 72 hours. I just wouldn't, you know.
Your life is dependent on staying up, and you could get shot at. I'm guessing
I might make it a week.
No, stop. Stop.
288 is ridiculous. Like, I would never.
Text line says, Drew's also out here catching passes in the NFL. That's true. Drew's very confident in his physical abilities and mental strength.
Give me on the jugs machine, man.
What's the earliest you've gone to bed in the last 6 months? That's a really telling part of the story. In the last 6 months, either of you. What's the earliest you just like, you started
like
dozing
actually,
off?
Hold on.
You started dozing off on the old couch and then eventually like, time to go to bed.
In healthy conditions, or are we like sick?
No, no, no. Just like healthy conditions. Not drunk either.
I was going to say, the most recent example involved me. It's a full day at the lake.
No, out
in the sun, and I went home at 7:30, and I slept till 2 in the morning.
Different. Different scenario. But, you're playing with a...
Normal? 9:45.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say probably 9:30.
I've started getting dozy around 9 sometimes. It's been like a really particular... But like not
There's been time, which is... You got to reject it. You got to go out on a run or something like that. Yes.
At 9 o'clock at night, I'd rather just go to bed. Go for a run, 9 o'clock at night.
If you're trying to stay awake.
In this scenario.
If you're trying to stay up 72 hours, then you know you gotta get up and do something.
What if it was like? I mean, how about this? This will change the match just one bit because someone said you gotta give it like a monetary thing.
That's be motivation.
All right, for every 24 hours you stay up, it's $1 million.
Okay.
Now how many can you make it?
I'm at least making it two.
For sure, now.
What about three? I think you can get three for
a million bucks.
Four is a whole other game, and you're starting to like be delusional, and you like might mess up your brain permanently. So like,
I'm not saying it's healthy, but that's where I would just start hitting the energy drinks and anything possible.
I think I would legitimately go 40. I wouldn't even go 72. I'd go 48 hours, get the $2 million, and be done because it's $2 million. I mean, that's enough for me.
Just you don't need energy drinks. Just use smelling salts. Do you think smelling salts would work on me right now in the present day? I don't think so.
I don't know.
How strong? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you get
we should. I cannot smell. You guys know this by now. Since December, so they're called smelling salts. I can't smell anything.
What if
I know
that's
a very strong smell. Mate, that'd be amazing. Please,
it's not just like a chemical reaction. It's not about the smell, but it's about like where it hits and like sinuses or something.
I've seen the reaction people have with the smelling salts.
I don't know if smelling salts work, so
you would think, but. So I don't know. Would I still have the same facial reaction that everybody else has when they use smelling salts, where everybody's like leans back or whatever for a second?
Well, let's see. Science behind smelling salts.
Someone says 3 days after that you start hallucinating, not worth it.
Irritates the membranes of the nose and lungs, thereby triggers an inhalation reflex. So smelling salts still get you.
Still would work.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not about the smell. It's about the way that the release of ammonia gas...
Mm.
Sounds real healthy.
Irritates the membranes of the nose and lungs.
That's why you're not really supposed to do that. But
someone said, is that million untaxed? Then maybe it's a little bit different.
What are we making this harder?
Just simply put, yes. Could I stay up for 2 hours or two days in a row?
For a million bucks each day.
Yes.
I think I'd have to do this. I think in order to stay up, like if it was $1 million gold, I would actually prefer it was you and me in a radiothon. And we just had to constantly
make it so much easier.
It'd make it way easier for like 72 straight hours. You and I just did content. Now we need Drew pumping in fresh ideas into the show.
Oh, hey,
hour like 18, I'd be running out of things to talk about. But
you guys could literally, I mean, you could go through talking sports, but you could go through
anything.
Let's jam out to this album, or let's react to this album that just came out.
We're in Vegas next week. Maybe there's no sleeping allowed.
No sleep. Let's see how long we can stay awake.
Vegas for.
Sounds like a test for you guys.
We fly out there next Wednesday. We're there doing shows Thursday and Friday.
Oh, so or wait, are you saying is that a challenge where I'm still going to be here and you're going to be in Vegas? So we should
see the difference.
See the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. See how we.
I'm not going to go a whole week without sleep. I'll tell you that much. Or a whole weekend, if you will. Yeah. I mean, I could, but I don't know if I have that desire. You might be able to, though. I mean, it might be easier.
In Vegas, actually, it's easier.
It would be easier, yes.
It's bright. They got good ventilation at the newer properties. There's
bands
no windows. They're trying to keep you awake so you don't know what time it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great place to try to stay awake for 72 hours.
Yes.
You got enough money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And stay in the casino.
Alcohol, by the way, is served 24/7 there. Like,
you could. There you go. You're in.
Get a Red Bull and vodka.
Although, again, the alcohol, you know, that's a depressant, though.
Yeah,
that's,
I can't do that.
That could all, unless you're going to keep drinking,
I've got a fun
that
idea.
Is going to be a problem for you.
That's going to have the opposite effect.
You guys need to, because you said it's going to be a little bit more laid back this time around. You guys
I already looked, Drew. 105 degrees on Thursday.
You guys
when
need,
we're there.
You guys need to go to a club and get a jersey swap, you know, with somebody who's out there.
I at the club?
Yes, that'd be hilarious.
Well, Cody owes us still.
Different kind of club.
That is a different kind of club.
A club visit. You still have, this will be our second visit you've had an opportunity to pay off the bet. You have
not.
Are you going to start paying off your bets on this show?
Mm.
Everybody else has paid off bets.
That's true.
We praise Vinny for being a man of his word with the Crown Club tickets, with the Jets bet from last year. You still owe this show and this audience the strip club visit.
That's true. I do. I kind of want to be here so that, you know, the audience can be.
You keep switching it up. You live here and you still haven't done it. It has to happen at one of these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do still owe that. We'll figure out a time.
Okay. Up next.
We'll figure out a time. That sounds like something that you do.
He keeps saying this. Next thing you know, it's going to be 2028, and the Olympics are going to start up again in the summer, and he's still not.
We'll figure it out.
There you go. Go clubbing in L.A. with the athletes or something like that, post-Olympics.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the athletes are clubbing with us.
That club.
It sounds a little expensive.
Find a way to get in.
Up next, 1 o'clock hour, we're going to hear from Jaden Hicks. Also, Xavier Worthy, I believe, spoke as well. Plus, we'll talk about what we did on Friday night as a show.